Hi there and good day. This is Naimish Modi for CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. It's great to be with you today. This piece features an interview with Guy Friedman, president of the First Peoples Group, who consulted on the Prime Minister's path in Baden. The interview took place on July 5th. The group released its recommendations on June 30th for Wilmot Council for the future of the PM's path. Essentially, the group advises removal of the path in Baden, including all the statues. It has also recommended the forming of a working group on the path towards reconciliation and healing in the township. The final decision is up to Wilmot Council. There is a special council meeting on July 5th to determine the future of the Prime Minister's path. Over the past couple months, the First People Group has engaged the public in terms of the future of the path. There was a large response to the engagement. So obviously the First People's Group is recommending a full cancellation of the Prime Minister's path and removing the current statues, as well as obviously not bringing back the SJM one. So how much thought that goes into a decision like this, and I guess maybe could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. First of all, we're not recommending it in the way that you're saying this. Mm. We're an advisory group, and based mm-hmm. on what we've heard, so this is the what we've heard report, we're advising council to consider taking three actions, and the recommendations in the report talk about a symbolic action, and that's to remove the existing statues. The second recommendation calls us for a substantive action, which is to create a working group to decide what to do next. And then the third one involves the systemic action, which, if the transformation of the engagement and consultation processes take place in Wilmot, the statues may have not gone in the first place because communities would have had a chance to talk about it. So it's basically some... the process that we used was to engage people in a way that allowed us to tell stories versus just a checkbox here and there. And we wanted to hear all these beautiful stories and take from that what we heard. And so the advice that we have given, we think accurately represents, you know, the voices of the citizenry of the Wilmot Township. So, yes, it's a recommendation, but it will be up to council tonight to decide what course of action they deem appropriate.
Right. And in terms of the public engagement process, what were your overall thoughts on that? I noticed there was 461 responses to the community engagement form. So I guess what were your full thoughts on the whole process in terms of sure. people in Wilmot putting forth their opinion?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody participates in consultative exercises, regardless of what is being asked of people. And we operate on the basis of a community and a consensus-based approach. And as I said, this allowed people to talk about things. This allowed, in the report, if you look at the youth section, it allowed for the youth to really elaborate on why they should go, why people don't care, and even those that say why it should stay, but let's deface them, had a chance to say things like that. And when you put it all into the hopper, again, the consensus that we believe that was achieved are of those three actions. You know, it becomes, in some cases, it might be considered, if we were to, in the minds and the eyes of some of the people on the youth side, I think what they might be saying is it's kind of negligent to have things in place that create such division in the community and create such polarization. Now, we recognize that some people will not be in favor of the first action, and we hope that by committing to transform the engagement process and the consultation process afterwards, moving forward with a working group that will be made up of the citizenry again, that they will arrive at a consensus to what to do with the statues and how to continue the important educational pieces that are lacking and are almost impossible to display on a plaque.
Right. How much of a change in direction in terms of the public's opinion did you notice? Obviously, as part of this process, the unmarked graves we're started discovering Kamloops and all over Canada. So how much of a change in direction did you notice, in people's opinion when those discoveries were made? Was there anything drastic there?
Well, I don't, there was change for sure. And there were those that were pretty set in one side of history that have said, this has changed. And you know what? Literally, there's been that across the country, right? And we've come to a point where when it comes down to the bodies of children and all the undiscovered bodies, which will probably, I expect, I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the range of 15,000 to 20,000 children. Keep in mind there were 139 schools, and if we're just talking about two schools that equal almost 1,000 deaths, I expect the number to be rather high. And we, if you would have called me last year, and we would have said that something might happen in this country that will cause Canada Day to be talked about being canceled, what would you be saying to me today, right? There was a groundswell of support in many cities to not even have Canada Day because of this. So there's been a change in the country, and as I said on other places, our elders are saying that these young souls have chosen a time to reveal themselves when our country is ready to consider that. And I think that's where we've arrived.
Right. And in terms of just going back to the engagement, what was the motivation to introduce? I noticed there was a full section on youth engagement. So how important was it to get youth in the decision-making process for the future of Wilmot's path?
Well, because we're a company that believes that youth will be are or will be and are, I would say, different than when I was growing up as a youth. Strong leaders, people who are very inclusive, people who have changed everything from the way we operate, even in terms of gender. And we think that the youth who will inherit the township are growing up at a different time when they're considering things in present day. So we don't think we're trying to make any attempt to rewrite history, but rather we're trying to capture history as it unfolds, which was a young country, quite a young country still, whose youth are now saying, we're all the same here, and we need to start talking about that. And as we call it in our company, we're looking for reconfederation, where instead of 36 people in Charlottetown in 1867 known as Fathers of Confederation, let's have grandmothers and grandfathers of Confederation that includes young people in the discourse, that includes transgender, that includes Indigenous, that includes Black, that includes women, and that includes all the new people from all over the world that are here now. We're a whole different country, and we're seeing that happen before our eyes. So youth, everybody says youth are our future, but do they really believe that? Do they really act on that? And we're suggesting that what we heard from the youth mirrors the consensus of what we heard from the adults, and I would say exceeds that in terms of the recommendations of being symbolic, but backing it up by something that is substantive in order to allow for the systemic change of how citizens and have a way to participate in their township or in their city or their towns.
I'm speaking to Guy Friedman, president of the First Peoples Group. Just looking back, or looking at the third advisory or recommendation from the First People Group, how big of a mistake was it for the township to not include an original public engagement process when the Prime Minister's path began in 2016?
I can't answer that one on my side. We were brought in just 8 months or so ago, but it sort of does speak to, had we known more about certain issues, regardless of whether it's Wilmot or anywhere, then you have a better chance of getting support from the entire community if and when you decide to move in that direction. And that's whether you're putting up a new arena or you're putting up something like this. That's why we recommended that. It's pretty clear that systems changes are required in our military. They're required in the RCMP. They're required in almost every area where we operate. because I don't think we really dissected that the places that we're in now, when those rules or systems were put in place, whether it's even a university, they were done a long time ago. And I don't think there's anything wrong in reviewing those, revisiting them, and then coming up with better processes so that people have a chance to say to their councils, this is what we want to do. This is what we think we should do. And that's just, I think that's just a new way of doing business for the country. And we have a, although I call it a young country, we have some old rules in place. And, you know, they need to be looked at in a way that we can be better public servants and better citizens working together.
Yeah, so I think the justification that was made at some of the meetings last year was that the justification for the path being up was that there was no taxpayers' dollars used, just looking back at some of the old ones. So I guess, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's just as important, even if the taxpayers' dollars are being used or not, to have a public engagement process into projects like this?
Well, let's just say that I own an airline and I want to establish a private landing strip in downtown Wilmot, and I'm just going to tell you that I'll pay every cent of it when I land my plane here, and I got approval to do that. You know, would you be comfortable with that? If somehow we're talking later, well, I had approval for that. I'm flying my own jet in here. We just have a bylaw that allows me to clear Main Street so I can land and charge tax over to my house. So it's kind of not, it matters not to me as a citizen that somebody who is privately funding something receives permission to do it in a public space. It still is in a public space. So perhaps if private land was involved, then I could put my airport there, and perhaps whoever wants to build a water park can put their water park there. But if it's being put into a city or a township, then I think there needs to be broader discussion on that, no matter what's being proposed, that more citizens have to interact with it.
Right. So in terms of the second recommendation made in the report, it says a working group should be created. What do you think this group would be responsible for? And I guess, would they be a group that would determine where exactly the statues would go if they are eventually being removed?
Yeah, I think if the group was to come forward, and whether it's appointed by council or people who volunteer to come forward, I would hope that they would be taking into consideration all the great points that were raised by people on both sides that says we still have to find a way to educate Canadians about the true history of this country. And so I suspect that they would be doing things, you know, what do we do with the statues? Should we put them somewhere? Where should they go? How should they present it? How should they be presented? Should it be a funded museum? Should it be continue on the private path? Like, those are questions that we say in the report are left, you know, to the citizens to work hard on. And then we say it will be hard work because, as you followed, this has been a very divisive process. And even in the work that we're doing at Kingston, council made a decision to remove the statue of Sir John A. And the next step is to work with the Cataraqui Cemetery and the working group to find out a way or a process to allow for that statue to be put somewhere in the cemetery. And keep in mind, there's not just Sir John A. buried in the cemetery, but others, on how that may happen. So, again, the good people of Kingston have hard work to do to navigate that. It's just a process that will be hard. It was hard to talk about this in the first place, as we found many people had the chance, though, to tell their stories, which is why it was important to have a very in-depth engagement process so that you just didn't get a yes or a no, or, as I said, a checkbox. So Wilmot has a lot of work to do, but from what those youth have said, they want to inherit a place that is inclusive and beautiful and centered on family. And we heard that loud and clear.
Right. Do you think this can be looked at as an opportunity for Wilmot to reconcile and set an example for the rest of Canada?
I think it's a unique opportunity, in part because what does that play, and what Wilmot, I think, can say, is something that we cite in the report that every prime minister up until the last school closed in 1996 should have known about this, did know about this, and could have done something about this. And so how can we tell a prime ministerial story that is that, that will continue with all the other prime ministers that followed? And so that, to take the words of the past, well, there's a path forward. And it would be interesting, and I would love to see Wilmot become that story of reconciliation that speaks about all the work in the context of prime ministers who have led this country as a bit of a timeline for where we are today. And that's a great question, and I think that you're going to find some great answers coming from that.
Right. And are you going to be speaking at tonight's council meeting? Is there anything you're going to be saying that's a little bit different from what you've told me or in the report? So is there, if there's anything you have there, that'd be great.
Yeah, they've asked me to. I'll be opening just the introductory comments, and then we have a video of Melissa and Bob that will follow. And then we'll be around at the end for discussion with council, should we be called upon for any clarification on what we've included in the report. But I don't think there's anything else to add. I've talked about reconfederation. We talk about the advice that we've given that is based on what we've heard from the citizens. And we're calling for hard work for, as you said, a chance to show how reconciliation can work on something that that has at first glance been divisive, but as we're seeing, is moving towards a new direction in reconciliation.
Today I spoke to Guy Friedman, president of the First Peoples Group, who are consultants on the Prime Minister's path in Baden and its future. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. For CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7, this is Naimish Modi. Hope you have a great day.